He's worthy to be praised. Like scripture says, from the rising of the sun unto the very going down of the same, His name is to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't help but say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power is to our God. Won't you turn with me? I know the hour is late, to John, the 14th chapter. This text is very known to us. Amen? And I'm going to read it in your hearing. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, guess what? I will come again. Not might, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, I struggled with the title of this sermon. You know, I was back and forth. I was like, Lord, what shall I call this thing? You know, and it stuck. This is a rock solid promise. But can I just put a colon right there and say Peter's promise? A rock solid promise, colon, Peter's promise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, speak to your people. Speak to our hearts. We await your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So this promise is a rock solid promise. Won't you say amen? A promise that you can stand on. In fact, for so many people, this is their favorite. Anybody, if this is your favorite, wave your hand in the air. Amen. This is your go-to promise, because when you are feeling trouble, come on somebody, or when you are going through trouble, or when even trouble finds you, come on somebody, you can actually hear the voice of Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. And when you're worried about keeping the lights on, oh, come on, somebody. And when you're worried about the mortgage payment and the rent payment, when you feel like you're about to lose your house, hear Jesus saying that in my Father's house are many mansions. Oh, and since it's Black History Month, the African slave, whether they were in the continent or cotton fields rather, on American plantations, or in the cane fields in the Caribbean, this promise provided hope. Come on, somebody. Saying that the injustice of slavery was only temporary. Somebody else to say amen. This rock solid promise was assurance of a reunion, where the oppressor and the oppressed would have to stand before the same Lord. This promise was more than a promise of a future mansion, amen somebody, but a present hope that anchored their souls, I'm talking about the slaves, in the belief that they were loved, they were valued, and destined for freedom in their Father's house. Come on, somebody. This promise inspired the slaves to sing that old Negro spiritual, I've got a home up in that kingdom, in that good news. Y'all know the song. I've got a home up in that kingdom, in that good news. I'm gonna shoulder my cross. I'm gonna take it home to my Jesus in, come on, good news. And hear me now, when you are sick in your bed and you're not sure that you will live, Jesus declares, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. This is the promise. This is a promise that is so sweet and it is rock solid. But can I tell you a little bit more about this promise? This promise was not a standalone promise. But actually, this promise was a response to Simon, Peter. And if you read in chapter 13, you see Jesus says it while he's in the upper room. After Jesus washes his disciples' feet and he breaks that bread and he pours the wine, just before he is betrayed, tried, convicted, and crucified, he says this promise. So he's there, picture it with me please, at the table. And he first lets them know, listen, one of you is going to betray me. And I could just see the disciples, they were all looking around, all bewildered and confused, trying to figure out who is it. Then, of course, Simon, who Jesus renames Peter, Cephas, which means rock. And Peter, who's always quick to act and speak without thinking, says, Lord, who is it? And Jesus tells him, and you know what? They get who it is, that he shows them who the betrayer is, because he says, listen, whoever dips in this dish, whoever I give the bread to after I dip in this dish, that's the one. And of course, it goes over their heads. And he even says to Judas, Judas, whatever you need to do, do it thou quickly. And they all saw Judas, but they didn't realize, they couldn't suspect that it could be Judas. And when Judas finally gets up and leaves to go betray his Lord, he has a conversation with them. And he says, listen, I'm not here with you long. And by the way, where I am going, this is in chapter 13, where I'm going, you can't come with me now. But afterwards, you'll be able to. And of course, Peter, the impetuous one, once again blurts out, Lord, where are you going? And why can't we follow you? Why can't I follow you? Don't you know that I will lay down my life for you? Oh, Peter, always quick to say something. And I can only imagine Jesus, his reaction to Peter, you poor, unfortunate, self-deluded soul. And Jesus had to burst his bubble. He had to break him. And he responds to Peter and his self-assurance and says, will you lay down your life, Peter? Really, Peter, will you? And Jesus looks him dead in his eye and he foretells his actions. He says, verily, verily, and that verily, verily means that Jesus is about to emphasize a coming divine truth. Verily, verily, anytime you see verily, verily, that he's about to impart some divine truth. And he says to Peter, before the cock crows, you would have denied me three times. And boy, did that crush him. What you mean? I deny you? What you mean? In his head, of course, he didn't say nothing. He quieted down because Jesus said, verily, verily. But in his mind, I can only imagine, what do you mean I will deny you? I've been at your side this whole time. I got your back. I would kill for you. However, notice that the promise, John 14, 1 to 3, comes right after this crushing prophecy. Now, John's gospel and the rest of the Bible, they weren't divided in chapters until the 1500s. So it is a continuation of a dialogue. So this is how it actually is supposed to be read. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Obviously, he was troubled by Jesus' statement. What do you mean I can't go with you? What do you mean I can't follow you? What do you mean I will betray you? And Jesus says to him, let not your heart be troubled. That's Peter's promise. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, there are three things I just want to teach a little bit about this promise to Peter. First thing I want to say or I want to impart is the way to secure your future is to rely on Jesus. He told Peter, and he's telling us today, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me too. Peter, I know what I told you is troubling. Peter, I know you feel uncomfortable with uncertainty. Any witnesses over here? I know you feel powerless. Oh, church, I don't know if you realize this, but Peter is me. Peter is you. Peter is all of us up in here right now. Peter wanted to know all the details of the plan of the setting up of the kingdom. He wanted to know the whys. He wanted to know the hows. He wanted to know the wheres. Oh, some of us want to know, we want to know why, oh God. Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through that? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family, my children, my health, my finances? Why? We always want to know the details of what God is doing behind the scenes. But guess what? It's not for you to know, but it's for you to trust and rely. Are you hearing me out there? Trust God. Whatever you're going through, let not your heart be troubled. Trust God. The second thing that this teaches is that Jesus looks past our faults and he sees our needs. Honestly, I don't know how he picked his disciples. Come on, somebody. This is what baffled the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the elders, the priests, the rabbis. They couldn't understand it. All the religious leaders were scratching their heads. Jesus chose publicans, hated amongst the Jews. Jesus chose zealots.
troublemakers, and he chose angry, ill-tempered, common-class fishermen to follow him. Oh, he looks past. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And Simon was chief. In fact, scholars have done character sketches on Peter. And apparently Peter was impulsive. Peter was impetuous. Peter had a bad temper. Peter had a foul mouth. Come on, somebody. Peter was headstrong, stubborn. Huh? He always had to have the last say. He thought he knew better than Jesus. Jesus, don't wash my... Come on, Jesus, don't wash... Come on, that's beneath you. He was weak and inconsistent. Oh, Jesus, look, come on. Tell me I can step out of the boat. And as he's stepping out, he's focusing on storms. Inconsistent. Peter was a bigot. If you fast forward to Acts, Paul had a problem with him. He was prejudiced. He always had to be up front. Man, if I were Jesus, Peter wouldn't be my first elder. Oh no, because I know we already have problems in the elder board. But guess what? There's some of us who are just like Peter. Woo. Impetuous, huh? Contentious, headstrong, stubborn, think you know better, look down your nose at people, prejudice. But praise be to the God above. He looks past our faults. Oh, he looks past our faults. Oh, did I say? He looks past our faults and he sees our need. He tells Peter, you can't go where I'm going. And what Jesus meant was that he was going to the cross and Peter could not come yet. This he had to do, Jesus, on his own. His mission and his burden, this was his to bear. But I go to prepare a place for you. Huh. You know, the Greek is etoimasai topon. Gotta put that in there. Just for dramatic, right? In other words, that is Greek for make ready or make room for you. It's not about mansions, by the way. It's about going to the cross to make room for you. He went to the cross so that he could make room for an impetuous, unworthy, undeserving sinner like you and like me. That's what I go to prepare a place. Because listen, before he went, Peter couldn't go. But because he went, guess what? Peter has place. Peter has a role. You and I have a role. We don't deserve it. But Jesus had to go and prepare a place. Are you hearing me out there? And my last thing I want to teach you. Because he came, died, and was resurrected, we have a future. Praise be to God. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself. That where I go, you will go also. Now, Peter, right there and then, could not follow Jesus to the cross. He wasn't ready yet. Are you hearing me out there? Back in chapter 13, verse 36, God says, where I'm going, you can't follow me now. In other words, Jesus had to run ahead of Peter. He had to run ahead of all of us, for all of us. He was the forerunner to the cross. He had to do it to be our ultimate sacrifice for sin, to redeem Peter and to redeem all of us. But then Jesus says, but you shall follow me afterwards. Ooh. In other words, there was still some spiritual growth. There was still some maturity that needed to take place in Peter's life. Even though Peter would deny him, God said, listen, I'm not done with you, Peter. Oh, just like that song says, I'm so glad that Jesus does not throw away the clay. Come on, somebody. He said, afterwards, you'll be able to follow me. I'm not through with you yet, Peter. But what Peter had to do is Peter had to let go of his pride. Peter had to let go of his impetuous nature. Peter had to let go of his arrogance and prejudice. Peter had to let go and let God. And I love what Ellen White pointed out. She says it was only after Peter's denial of Christ and when Christ looked across at him that Peter burned within him and was finally converted. Then he saw that he needed Jesus. He can't do it without Jesus. And I love what it says in John 21, 15 to 19, when Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him, Jesus. And I believe that he said it three times, probably to counteract the three times